Praise the Lord, everybody. Praise the Lord, everybody. Hallelujah. Glad to be in the house of the Lord one more time. Amen. My voice sound a little raspy, but that's okay. Hallelujah. Good morning and welcome to Taylor Tabernacle Live. Welcome to the Taylor family and all our friends joining us through Facebook and YouTube Live. We are streaming from Philadelphia, PA, where Elder Jonathan E. Ford is our pastor. Amen. Amen. At this time, I'm going to just ask you, everyone, to stand as we go to the throne of grace. Hallelujah. Can we just kind of like just shake it off? You know, I know it's been a long week. Hallelujah. A lot of us have been fasting and we're a little tired, but we are in the house of the Lord. The Lord has given us another day to give him the praise. Hallelujah. We thank and praise his name. Hallelujah. And we should always have a praise in our hearts. Amen. Amen. Father God, in the name of Jesus, hallelujah, we are gathered here to worship your holy name, O God, and to give you thanks. Hallelujah. We invite your presence among us, O God. Fill this house with your Holy Spirit and fill our hearts to receive a word from you. Hallelujah. Help us to set aside all distractions, O God, every burden that we're carrying, O God, the weariness from the week, hallelujah, and even the doubt that the enemy has placed in our heads, O God. We lay it at your feet, hallelujah. Fill us with your Holy Spirit, Lord, and renew our souls to worship you, O God. Lord, we thank you for our lives and the gift of another day to try to get it right. Hallelujah. Thank you, God, and help us to worship you in spirit and in truth. Show us your ways, O God, and help us to always, always enter your house with thankful hearts. Hallelujah. And to praise your holy name. Hallelujah. Father God, we thank you, Lord. We lift our hands up and give you the praise, Lord, because you deserve all of our praise, O God. We thank you, Lord. We praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. 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 We thank you for your promised word. Hallelujah. That gives us hope. Hallelujah. To live with assurance that what we need will be done in your mighty name, O God. Hallelujah. Holy Spirit, we welcome you into this house of worship. Revive us. Give us peace to rest in your word, O God. Father God, we thank you for guiding us, Lord, through the difficult times, Lord. The times when our hearts were not pure, Lord, full of pride, selfish, and when our faith was weak, O God. We thank you, God. We thank you, God. We praise your holy name for your compassion towards us, O God. Not for punishing us, Lord, for our disobedience, O God. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. You still loved us. Hallelujah. When we strayed away. Hallelujah. You still loved us. Hallelujah. Even when we strayed away, O God. We thank you, Jesus, for your unconditional love for us, O Lord, because, Lord, you promised, your promised word says that all things work together for the good of those that love him. Hallelujah. We love you this morning, O God. We love you this morning, O God. We love you this morning, O God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And we thank you this morning for working things out for us, O God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, church. Hallelujah. 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 We thank you this morning, Lord. Hallelujah. For your grace. Hallelujah. A gift that you have gave us. Hallelujah. That we did not earn, oh God. Hallelujah. Thank you for peace. Hallelujah. A peace that passes all understandings, oh God. We thank you for the calm and the reassurance, even in the chaos of our lives, that you will carry us through, O God. We thank you for guarding our hearts, O God, protecting us. Hallelujah. The ones that we love and reminding us that you are always with us because you live in us. We thank you, Father God, for another communion Sunday to remind us of Jesus' shed blood, that he paid the full debt of our sins. Thank you, Father God. 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 Hallelujah. Bless our pastor as he bring a word from the Lord to revive our spirits so that we can soar like the eagles. We ask these blessings in the name of our precious Lord and Savior. Amen. Amen. Our scripture this morning will be coming from Romans 15, 13. Romans 15, 13. Amen. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and all peace in believing, that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word. Amen. You may be seated. I just wanted to share with you real quick. At work a couple weeks ago, a little kid had asked me, I was drawing blood on one of the siblings, and a little kid had asked, do you have joy in your heart? I think this little kid was like about 5 or 6. So I thought she said, do you know where my brother is at? That's what I thought. And she said it again. She said, do you have joy in your heart? So I want you to look to your neighbor and ask that person, do you have joy in your heart? Look to the right and look to the left. Do you have joy in your heart? Amen. Hallelujah. Because we know that the joy of the Lord is our strength, right? Amen. Hallelujah. 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 And it was something for me to think about, because I was like, you know, yeah, I got joy in my heart. The joy of the Lord is my strength. I get joy when I think about the goodness of Jesus. God has done so much in my life, you know. So yeah, I get joy. So I don't see Sister Aaliyah here this morning. So I don't know if we're going to have Alex or we'll do a congregational election. Amen.
Good morning, Taylor. I will do something we all know, so please join.
Hallelujah. 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 Lord, you're worthy. 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 Lord, you're worthy.
Amen. 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 I'm going to ask everyone to stand. Amen. Hallelujah. As our pastor comes out to give us a word from the Lord. Amen. Can we just say praise the Lord? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We thank you, Lord. Amen. Amen.
As I indicated on the one call yesterday, you're going to need both your Bible and your phone today, okay? It's the only day that you'll be able to have your Bible and your cell phone out during the sermon, okay? Any other Sunday, you cheating, right? Checking your email during the sermon, amen? So first, I want to thank everyone for your faithfulness to the morning prayer this morning, those that pressed their way out to be here. Thank God for your faithfulness to it. Those who were of the right spirit, but ran into trouble. We heard about some of the traffic accidents that were out there. Just glad that you made it to the house of God safely. Amen? Okay, good. So let's turn our attention to the Word of God. So if you have your Bibles this morning, you can see up on the big screen, our text for today is going to be Malachi, the third chapter, verse 8. Okay? If you're not familiar, Malachi is the last book of the Old Testament. Always a good Bible quiz question. What is the last book of the Old Testament? Most people get it wrong. But today, you'll be able to get it right going forward because what? Pastor told you, I always try to be a helpful pastor. So I'm even helping you in your quiz games. All right? Malachi 3 and 8. The witness will be the New Testament, 1 Corinthians 16. Okay? If you have that, I'm going to invite you to stand with me as we read out of the Word of God. Malachi 3 and 8, 1 Corinthians 16 and 1. Amen. Anyone in need of a Bible? Everybody in good shape? Got a hand up. If my Jacob... Jacob definitely needs usher training. All right. Him and some of these other young, that's all right. We're going to get it for him. They're there, but we know it. Not his fault. We're going to get you some usher training. Thank God for all of the men of God here. Thankful so much for our young men being here, not just in the service, but participating. Amen. And again, as I said often, I always want you to have your Bible in your hands during the preaching so that you can validate and fact check what the preacher is saying. Amen? Now, to assert, there's a part of me that regrets saying that. There was a day and time where you could count on the truthfulness of the words of the preacher. There was a time. But as the days grow closer to the end, that is not always the case anymore, right? Many people are preaching, not the gospel, many people are preaching their own message, right? Their own version of salvation, right? And I think it's somewhere in the witness, I think it's in the New Testament, where he says he allows them, it's a spirit of confusion, and he allows the people to believe a lie. Right? And so to combat against that, we just what? We just go through the Word of God. And if it matches up, then there's confidence. What? Then what they are saying is the truth comes from God. Why? Because I read it in the Word of God myself. Right? And that's not taking their word for that. Amen? Here we go. Malachi 3:8. Will a man rob God? Yet, you have robbed me. But you say, in what way have we robbed you? In tithes and offerings. Verse 9, you are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. And try me now in this. You have your own Bible. You need to underline that. Try me now in this. What God is saying in this one phrase, what he's saying, test me. That's what God said. God said, put me to the test. If I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you such blessing that there will not be room enough to receive it. 11, I will rebuke the devourer for your sake, so that he will not destroy the fruit of your ground. Nor shall the vine fail to bear fruit for you in the field, says the Lord of hosts. And all the nations will call you blessed, for you will be a delightful land, saith the Lord of hosts. Amen. Hey, let's look at the witness, just a couple of verses. 1 Corinthians 16. Now concerning the collection for the saints, as I have given orders to the churches of Galatia, so you must do also. That on the first day of the week, let each one of you lay something aside, storing up as you may prosper, that there be no collections when I come. When I come, whoever you approve by your letters, I will send to bear your gift to Jerusalem. But if it is fitting, I go also, and they with me. Amen. This morning, I'm going to conclude my series of messages on giving. Been preaching on that all through of the month of August. Thanks so much for Sister Barb filling in and adding to the witness on last Sunday. And today we look to conclude that. And I want to talk from this subject, preparing an offering for Sunday. Okay? Preparing an offering for Sunday. Shall we bow our heads? O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. From the rising of the sun to the going down of the same, your name shall be praised. Father, we've set our hearts and our minds this morning to be found here in the house of God. reward our faithfulness in attending by giving us ears to hear. Give us eyes that we might see. And give us a heart willing to obey. Lord, that through our giving, you might be glorified and praised. This is our humble request. We ask it in Jesus' name for his sake. Amen. You may be seated all over the church. As I indicated, I'm concluding a series of messages on giving. If you were here at the beginning of the month, I talked out of probably the most famous and well-known scripture in the Bible, John 3:16. We talked about the fact that lovers give, if you remember that sermon. Then we followed that up with another sermon that was entitled, The Key to Being Blessed, right? What is the key to being blessed? And it was through that sermon that we realized the key to being blessed is our own giving. You hold the key right in your hand, right? The scripture, we noted in there, I think it was in 2 Corinthians, it said, look, the more you give, the more you receive. Luke tells us, we looked at Luke, that the same measure you mete out will be the same measure that is meted back to you. The same way you give out, the same way you're going to receive. Right? So we talked about that, the key to being blessed. Then we followed that up by talking about how that a free will offering requires the Holy Spirit. Right? A free will offering. That's going to be important because we're going to follow up on that free will offering today. But it requires the Holy Spirit. And the point that I was trying to drive in that sermon is you can't give to God. Now, I don't know if you guys caught that through that sermon, but that was the real point. You can't, I can't give to God. There is only one person who can rightfully give to God. It's the Holy Spirit. Why? Because the Holy Spirit is the only one, right, that the witness tells us has what? Has the mind of God. He's the only one that knows what God's thinking. I don't know what God's thinking. You don't know what God's thinking. The only one who does is the Holy Spirit. So in order to give anything to God, it requires he's got to speak. He's got to stir. He's got to move me in some else. I won't know. I will give something to God, but if it's not prompted or inspired by the Holy Spirit, it will be something that God does not want. Right? Are you with me? If you got it, say I got it. So now, let's work this out. If you grew up in an old church like me, anytime there was an anniversary or time of giving, they always went to Malachi 3:8, because that's where it talks about tithes and offerings. And I'm so glad to going back over this, because looking out on the church, I am delighted this morning to see so many young people in church who, unlike me, probably are not familiar with this passage. So that's a good thing. So I'm preaching to a new audience. That means there's growth in the church, young people in the church, versus people in the church. Me, I've been in the church forever. You know what I'm saying? So that's the one thing. But now I'm also delighted by this. And I'm going to work it out for you, but I'm just going to give you the summary right up front. We are no longer, it's a New Testament church, this side of the cross, required to pay tithes. Right? Now that's for all the people in the church my age and up. Why? Because we grew up thinking that's what they told us. That's what the pastors told us. The elders thinking, man, you gotta pay your tithes. That's what we know. Right? But today we're gonna work this out, and I'm gonna show you in the Word of God where you are not required to pay. In the Old Testament, you're going to see, they were required. God wasn't asking them a favor. He said, this is it, right? You're required to bring a tithe, right? So here it is. Let's get into it. Malachi 3, he says, will a man rob God? Yet you rob me. He says, will a man rob God? He says, yet you have robbed me, but you say, in what way have we robbed you? God tells his prophet, tell him in tithes and offering. Right? So an odd way to pick up the text here, just in the interest of time. I can't go from verse 1 and flow it all the way down. But let's just start with that question. Will a man, can a man rob God? That doesn't seem like the proper thing to say, right? Because the reality is, God has what? God has everything. So how could anybody rob somebody who has everything? But yet, God says that's exactly what you are doing. They said, well, wait a minute, how? What have we done that has presented itself as a robbery, right? Everybody know what a robbery is, right? It is an assault, so there's violence in it, that includes taking of another's possession, right? I wish I had put that up on the slide, but I didn't. But that's what robbery is. A robbery, that there's actually violence in a robbery, right? That means somehow I forcibly took it from you. I didn't ask you to give it to me and trick you out of it. By force, I took it, right? And I took what was legally someone else's. So when you read your Bible, pay attention to the language God used. He says, you have robbed me. You have assaulted me by taking from me something that is legally mine. Are you with me? What? The people, what have we? How in the world have we assaulted God? How have we presented violence to God? What did we take that was his into our own possession? So here it is. So let's do the groundwork. A tithe. What is a tithe? Again, so grateful to have such a young church and new people in it. So here's a tithe. So we're all on the same page. Here it is, right? Got it up. You got me up there? Good. He got me. Good. In the Bible, a tithe is the act of giving 10% of one's produce or income. It was a command given to the ancient Israelites in the Old Testament that was used to support the Levites, the priests, the tabernacle or temple, and also the poor. Okay? Everybody with me on that? In a simple definition, a tithe is a tenth. You run it back in Hebrew. That's where that word comes, a tenth. That's what he goes, a tithe. Right? And as it relates to religious worship, a tithe was 10% of whatever a person was able to receive. Right? And there he had that, a tenth. God says, you robbed me in tithe. Now, go to this. I don't have it on the board, but I want you to turn there. Leviticus 27 and 30. Okay? You got the app on your phone, Bryce? Or you need a Bible? You good? Yeah, go there. Leviticus, Old Testament, chapter 27, verse 30. All right? This is what God through Moses is telling the Israelites. He says, all the tithe of the land, whether the seed of the land or the fruit of the tree, listen what he says, is the Lord's. It is holy unto the Lord. Are you with me? God's saying this. He's saying, look, whether the seed or the fruit, whether it's the seed in the ground or whether the fruit, it means it's come up, the tree is up, the flower is up, whatever it is, he's saying a tithe, a tenth, is the Lord's because it is holy unto him, right? Anytime you hear that word holy, it means of or pertaining to God. So God is saying a tenth of everything that grows belongs to me. Okay? It says, if a man will at all redeem aught his tithes, he shall add thereto the fifth part thereof. Right? That's fancy bank language for 20% interest. A fifth part. That's the 20%. God said, if for whatever reason you fail or neglect to bring the tithe to me, he said, you're still going to owe me the tithe plus 20% for stealing. Are you with me? And concerning the tithe of the herd, so he said, all the produce, 10% is holy. Now he goes and said, now of the herd and of the flock, and whatsoever passes under the rod, a tenth of that is holy to the Lord. Are you with? So produce, livestock. He's saying he's just letting them know all of it. He said, while it is mine, I'm only requiring you to give me a tenth of it, right? The Bible tells us that what? A cattle on a thousand hill belongs to who? Belongs to God. This is just another way of saying, he said, it's all mine. I created all of it. It's all mine, right? And he said, a man shall not search whether it is good or bad, neither shall he change it. And if he change it at all, then both it and the change thereof shall be holy. It shall not be redeemed. God's basically saying you can't change it. I'm going to show you how long I've been in church. I've been in church long enough to hear folks say this. And I wasn't the pastor. Dr. Taylor or my mom was pastor. But I would hear them because I'm a PK kid, so I got to sit around and wait for the pastor at the end of the service. But I would hear folks say, Pastor, I didn't pay my tithe this week because my niece graduated and I had to get her a gift. I've heard that. I'm telling you, just a kid in church sitting around, because I got to wait for that, you know, pastor, I'm just waiting. And I would hear them say that. They would give a reason as to why they didn't pay their tithes. And the reason was whatever. But here he's helping. He said, you can't change it. You can't opt it out. Like, okay, instead of paying my tithes, it's Mother's Day and I need that money for Mother's Day. But he's trying to get them to understand it's holy. You can't modify it. It must be paid. Get your Mother's Day gift or your niece's graduation gift out of whatever's left over. But don't take it from God. Why? Because it's holy. Why is it holy? Because he said so. I mean, he can't be more plain than what he's just laying it out. The fruit, the produce, the cow. He said,
whatever. You got to understand, they were an agricultural people. So this was their source of income, was fruit, vegetables, lambs, goats. It was livestock. That was how they lived and how they bartered. 34, these are the commandments which the Lord commanded Moses for the children of Israel at Mount Sinai. Right? So everybody good on what the tithe is? Is everyone good on how God looked at the tithe? Because that's what's the most important. I not only got to know what it is, but I got to understand how it relates to God and why it's important to him. Right? And help you on that point. It was important to him, not because God needed it. Right? The witness tells us that, what about our God? That God is a what? He's a spirit. And if in fact he's a spirit, he doesn't need produce. He doesn't need livestock. So why is he requiring this of us? God is trying to invite us into a trust relationship. Can I trust you with the tithe? Right? Any and everybody knows before you give anybody a lot, you always start them out with what? A little. Yeah, here a dollar. Do right with a dollar. If you do right by it, next time, all right, here's $5. Why? Because you've proven that what? I can handle a little. Now, as you continue to mature, I can trust you now with what? More. Right. Write this down, and I'll leave the tithe alone. Right? If you write this down, I'll leave the tithe alone. Write it down. Right? If you don't have something to write with, get something to write with. A tithe is only a test. That's all the tithe is. That's all. It's nothing more than that. Nothing magical about it. Nothing. Well, there is something magical about it, but that's another sermon. But that's all the tithe is. He could have picked any number. He could have made it 20%. It didn't matter to God. The number wasn't important. What was important was whether or not you saw it the way God saw it. Because if you did, you wouldn't give it to your niece for her graduation. If you saw it the way God saw it. Are you with me? If you got it, say, I got it. Do I need to do anything else on the tithe? If we good with the tithe, say, Pastor, we good with the tithe. All right, we're done with it. Here it is. So here it is. Now, he says, you robbed me. Verse 9. This is important. He says, you are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me. So we just talked about Leviticus. If you don't give it, he charges you 20%. You can't switch it out, opt it out for another line item that month. You can't do that. You're not allowed to change it. So you got all these stipulations around the tithe. Now here's the most important thing. And this is what he wanted Israel to see and understand. When you fail to bring the tithe, listen what he says. You are cursed with a curse. Right? The thing I want to point out to you is what it doesn't say. All right? It does not say if you fail in the tithes and offering, it does not say that God curses you. It does not say that. You got to read it. That's why you got to read your Bible slow and out loud. He said, when you fail to bring God, he says, you are cursed with a curse. Never once did he attach his name to it. He's simply saying, your disobedience regarding the tithe will bring about a curse on your own house and by your own hand. Are you with me? Look at somebody and just tell them, God, the tithe is important to God. He takes, this is not a play thing. This is not, oh, sing something. No, no, no. God is serious about the tithe. He said, now you got all those stipulations that I gave you in Leviticus, but if you fail to bring it, you actually release a curse. And for Israel, it wasn't only a curse on them and their house. What did he say in verse 9? He said what? The whole nation has robbed. He said, you guys have released a curse on the whole house. The whole nation is living under a curse. Are you with me? Here is the glaring and widespread sin. They had stolen from God what was rightfully his by divine law. And the result of failing in the tithes was that they brought about a curse on themselves by their own hand. You got it? Verse 10. So Malachi says, look, Malachi is my kind of preacher. Right? The real Old Testament prophets, many of them were doom and gloom. I mean, they just brought the judgment. They just say, God said, you're dead and you'll be dying. I mean, it was just what it was. Isaiah, Jeremiah, I mean, those guys it was just hard. Malachi is my kind of preacher because you got to say what God says. But now Malachi offers what? Hope. That's my kind of preaching. If you ever want to find me on Sunday, I'll be in a church with a preacher who preaches hope. Right? Because the book says without hope, we are people that are most what? That's in the Word of God. Anybody, if you don't have any hope, any light at the end of the tunnel, you're dead already. Why? Because you have no hope. What are you going to get up tomorrow for? Right? But the word, that's what I love about the gospel, that the gospel always presents a message of hope. So now Malachi changes his tune in his prophecy. You robbed God. You brought a curse on yourself. Your whole, not only your curse, your whole nation is cursed. But then he says, but listen what God says. That now, if having been made aware of your error, he said, now bring all the tithes. All he's saying is bring everything you owe me. Right? Go get back what you gave your niece and just tell her, I made a mistake. I'll get you something next year. I need that back because it belongs to God. That's what he said. Bring. He said, look, there's hope. Here's the hope. Bring all the tithe. Right? Go. Let's rectify it. Right? And now this is important. Because now I'm going to give you the purpose of the tithe. And then I'm going to give you the blessing of the tithe. Why? What is the purpose of the tithe? He says, bring all the tithes into the storehouse. Just so you get it on the storehouse, the tabernacle, what follows in the temple. When you understand and look at the construction of that, and we're going, Alex, one of these days we're going to work it out. We're going to take the home. She found me a place that has the tabernacle in a museum that we can go and look at it. Because I told him I want to get around to preaching on that. But one of the things you'll learn when you look at the tabernacle and the temple, one of the things, we all see, oh, they got an altar and the incense and the canon. We see all that. One of the things people don't realize that they had storerooms built into the tabernacle. And what to think about it, because the people are bringing a tithe. And the tithe is what? Fruit, produce, grain, cattle, livestock. So they needed a place to what? Store it. Until what? Till time of the festival. Right? And then at the time of the festival, they would go into the storehouse of what the people had brought, and they would take out what was required for what? For worship. Right? And so not only did they have the holy place and the candle and the table of incense, and they had all of that stuff. stuff, and all of that is significant. But you very rarely hear preachers talk about they had storehouses. Not only, then when you get to the temple, you find out not only did they have storehouses built in, they also had living quarters. That was for the widows, right? So that there would be what? No homelessness in Israel. Church took care of them. They built it in to the tabernacle. They built it into the temple, right? Are you with me? I'm not getting into that, but here it is, right? So where are we at? Storehouses, right? Bring the time. I'm going to put it in the storehouse, right? So that when God has need of it for the designated festivals, what we need has already been what? Been provided. It's already been stored, already been provided. Just waiting there for God to say, yeah, bring it. Bring the sacrifices. Bring the grain offering. Bring the wave offering. Bring the sheave offering. Well, where are we going to get? It's already in the storehouse. The people have been bringing their tithe. So anything that God needs for worship is what? It's, look at somebody and say, it's already in the house. That's what the tithe does. It's already in the house. You don't have to go looking for it, asking for it. All the priests got to go get it. It's time to worship. Everything needed for the worship of God is what? It's already in the house. So got that. So brick tithe, storehouse. Here's the purpose of the tithe. Here it is right here. And I just said it. That there may be food in my house. This is what I've just been saying. Right? That there may be food, supply, resources. Right? The word food is used there because that's what they brought. Produce, stock, livestock. But a broader translation that we can easily grab is that there's what? Resources. Whatever is needed for worship, it is already where? It's in the house. It's already been in the house. Why? Because the people have been faithfully doing what? Bringing the tithe. So it's already there. Right? When it's time, the festival's time to go up, it's already in the house. Everything we need is right here. Are you with me? All right, so that's the purpose of the tithe, right? That there may be food in the tithe. Now, here is the blessing of the tithe, right? Here's the hope of the message, right? So all you guys can sit up now and actually look at me. It's funny, I've been preaching, everybody had their head like this. Everybody, Pastor, hurry up, get done. Let's get over the tithe. Well. Here it is. Here's the hope in the message. So everybody can look up now. Right? Purpose of the tithe. Now here's the blessing of the tithe. I done spent the first half of the message talking about what? You're cursed. You owe 20%. You can't redeem it. You can't change it out for your niece's graduation dress. Right? And you're like, geez Louise. Now here's the hope. Here it is. I'm going to give it to you. This is why all Israel should tithe. Here it is right here. And I told you to underline this. He says what? Try me now in this. The only time I ever see this in the Bible. Where God says, you have a right to test me in this. God said, put me through the test. I don't read that elsewhere, but here, regarding the tithe, God says, put me through the test. And I gave you the key to the whole sermon when I told you what? A tithe is only a what? It's only a tenth, but it's only a what? A test. That's all the tithe is a test. Watch this. Not only for you, but it's also a test for God. You have a right to come boldly to the throne of grace and say, God, according to your word, I bring the tithe. Am I right? If you tell me if your Bible says it differently or reads differently. This is what he's saying. God said, not only am I putting you through the test, in this thing, because it's so important, I'm going to allow you to put me through the test. He said, you hold up your end of the bargain. God said, I hold up mine. Here it is. Now let's look at what the tithe does for the believer. Here it is. He says, I will open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you such blessing that there will not be room enough to receive it. Most church folk get excited over that verse. Obviously, not you guys. But most church folk, right, that are attending other churches this Sunday. Most church folk, they hear that and they get it. Oh, and there's a lot to be excited about. But what I realized, again, you got to understand, I'm a church baby. I've been in church a lot. I think I was in church when my mom was pregnant. I was leading service in her stomach, playing the bongos in her first. I mean, I've just been in church all my, I don't know anything else but church. But this is what I found out. Most church people, get excited about this scripture only for what half of it says. Most church folks. The first part is so good, they shout themselves out over the first part. And the ushers got to fan them down. And they never get to the second part. And I'm going to show you something. The second part is actually, whatever. It's your own Bible. You do what you want. Here it is. Here it is. So I'm going to open the windows of heaven, right? And this is the way, this is my mind working. Because we just had rainstorms, showers, and all that. How many of you have ever been caught driving your car when it seems like the skies just open up? I mean, it starts raining so hard. Your wipers are on high. And you still can't see. Raise your hand if anyone knows what I'm talking about. I mean, it's coming down so hard, this is what I do. I don't know what you, I stop. I can't see. I can't see the light. I just stop, put my hat. I just pray, Lord, don't let nobody hit me. I can't go forward because I can't see, Norm. Why? Because all of a sudden, the heavens opened up. You follow what I'm saying? If you have experienced that in the natural, that is what God is saying in the supernatural that he will do when you test him with your tithe. A deluge of blessings from heaven. See, I'm just going to open it up. I'm not going to penny-ante it out. God said, I'm just going to open heaven. Whatever comes out, comes out. Whatever you get, you get. Whatever you can hold, you can hold. Whatever you can have, you can have. Do you follow me? But that's the imagery I want you to have, because that's the imagery the prophet's using. I'm just going to open the windows of heaven. I encourage you that while we're fasting, and as you commit yourself to giving under the unction of the Holy Spirit, I'm going to challenge you to do this. And you have a right to do it. Ask God for open heavens. God, that's what I want. Because when you do it that way and don't specify what you need from God. Did I help somebody? Y'all got to do better. You don't realize this in your prayer life, but when you specify what you need or want from God, you actually limit God in blessing. If you would just tell him, God, just open the windows, you follow what I'm saying? Look at somebody and tell them, pray for open windows. God, whatever you want to give it to me, let me have it. Don't, and look, and don't hold back. Just let it spill all out. You follow what I'm saying? Raise your hand if you want to be blessed like that. He said, here it is. And again, all the good church folk get happy. Open windows. And they're running around the church 7 times. I knew Kim would clap for that. Here's the better part. Look what it says. He said, I'm going to pour out for you a blessing. Now, we just created the image, you open windows. The imagery is that what? A lot of blessings are falling out of heaven. But what God says in the Word of God, God says, when I open the windows of heaven and you don't restrict me, right? And what I can do for you, but allow me to do for you what the tithe does for you. God said, this is what I'm going to do for you. God said, I'm going to give you a blessing. Right? Right. He didn't say, I'm going to give you blessings, multiple blessings, multiple. No, God never said that. That's why I said the church folk get happy over the first part. Because they speak of that deluge and all that rain. And they never, you just read a little further. He said, what I'm going to do when I open the heavens. And I need you to get this. This is worth the sermon right here, Kerm. God can bless you one time. That's all you need. One blessing from God. Not multiple, not three or four. God said, if you allow me, if you release me through the tithe, I'm going to open up heaven and I'm going to send you one blessing. And your life will never be the same. One blessing. So that's all God's got to do. I said, if you touch me through this, he said, I'm going to heal your body one time. You'll be better afterwards than you were before. One blessing. That's all I did. One blessing. That's all you need. God said, I'm going to fix it so you get a job that everybody on the job knows you're what? Not qualified for. But what? They can't fire you. And I'm going to use that one job. You come in on the ground floor. By the time you're over, by the time it's over, you're the president and CEO of the company. One blessing. One blessing. That's all it was. One opportunity. One advantage. One thing to finally go right for you. And now what? The rest of your life is changed forever. Right? That's the better part of this verse. I'm so glad the windows are open. But I don't need everything in heaven to fall on me. All I need is the one thing that God has for me. Are you with me? Right? And I the witness is true because what? It only took what? One sacrifice. To what? Save us from what? All our sins. Only took one. Jesus is not dying every Sunday. Oh, we're going to crucify him again. It's Easter. Go get Jesus. No. He died once and for all. And that one sacrifice has covered all of our sins. Look at someone and say, all you need is one. That's all you need. All right? If you got it, say, I got it. Good night. I'm so far behind. Here it is. I got to move. Here it is. So you get that. Then they said, open the heaven. They're not, you won't have room enough for you. Here at 11. I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, so that he will not destroy the fruit of your ground. God said, not only will I give it to you, God says, I'm going to put a fence around you. 2 or 3 years ago, we were all out in the garden doing what? Building what? Fences. Trellises. We were building stuff to what? Protect the stuff. Why? Lynn and David said what? Raccoons were coming in. Cats, they coming in. We go out Sunday, nothing there. Right? So they said, we got to build some structures. Right? I always tell young guys this. It's never how much you make. The only thing that matters is what? How much you what? How much you keep. A lot of people make a lot. But in the final analysis, they were like, how in the world could they go broke? They couldn't keep it. Because there was no fences around. You follow what I'm saying? Bad decisions, bad investments, bad this, bad that. And the devourer comes in and takes what you have. Right? Anybody know what I'm talking about? Here it is. I got to keep moving. Here it is. Then he says, nor shall the vine fail to bear fruit in one of my favorite words. Actually, Mimi's favorite, the matriarch's favorite. She said what? That your fruit would remain. Not only that you have fruit, but that it lasts. If you understand the implication of this, because he's using a garden analogy, because they were a horticultural people, we can see it now that we're building a garden. Every year, the harvest gets what? Just talk to Lynn and Dave. They kept the record from year one. Now we're in year three. And every year, the harvest gets what? That's your fruit remaining. Next year, guess what? It's going to be what? Larger than it. It's going to remain. Why? Because the witness says, as long as there remains what? Seed time and harvest. God said, as long as the cycle keeps going. In one instance, he's talking about the cycle he's put in the earth. Seed time and harvest. As long as seeds keep falling to the ground, stuff will keep growing. God made it that way. But even as he made it that way in the natural, God is saying, I also made it that way in the spirit. But the seed in the spirit is your tithe. And if you just keep putting it in the ground, every year you'll have what? A bigger harvest. It'll just keep going. And it'll outlast your lifetime. Your children, bless. Grandchildren, bless. Great, bless. Why? All because of great-grandma and great-pump, they started what? A cycle. They got in a cycle. They keep testing God. And God keeps proving himself according to the blessings of the tithe. Are you getting it? All right, I got to go. I got to go. I'm out of it. I'm way over. Here it is. Devour, your sake. The vine, bear fruit. Just keep bearing fruit. All the nations will call you blessed. This is not friends on Facebook. When he says all the nations will call you, people will be able to look over the course of your life. Not at a moment in time. Because at a moment in time, we could be at our worst. But over the course of our life, people can look at us and say, you know what? This is a church, the song we used to sing in the old church. No, he's fine. Here it is. We used to sing a song in the old church. the Lord sure been good to me. That's what, and it takes an old person to sing that, because an old person sings from experience. They didn't say the Lord's been good to me yesterday. He may have. But what they're saying is that over the course of my life, the seasons of my life, the Lord has sure been good to me. Right? Here's something you guys might get, because you didn't get saved till later. Here it is. You might have got get it. There was a thing, this is that what? My good days, they far outweigh my bad days. Just over the course of my life, I've had bad days. But God has given me more good days. Do you follow what I'm saying? Why? Because I'm living under an open heaven. Right? And God has given me more good days than bad days. Okay, good. All right, I'm fine. Are we finished? And you'll be a delightful land. Okay, good. Here's the sermon right here. Everybody got that? Here's this. I wrote it in my notes because I didn't want to forget it. Here's this. Get this. I wrote it. Everybody repeat after me. That was then, under the Old Testament, the law. But this is now, under the New Testament and grace. Okay? Now here we go. This is what you came to church for right here. They're like, no, that's not why I came to church. Go to 1 Corinthians. I'm going to give you this and I'm finished with it. First Corinthians 16. Now concerning the collection. He said, I've given orders to the churches of Galatia, and so you must also do. And here's what he's saying. 1 Corinthians, Paul, apostle, right? He's an apostle, meaning that he has been an eyewitness through the Spirit, not natural as the 12, but through the Spirit. He's an apostle because he's an eyewitness of the resurrected Christ. Got to understand, that's what makes them an apostle, not your cousin. I wish I had a real church. You go to another church, you'll see what I mean. That was the qualification for being, you had to be an eyewitness of the resurrection. Why? Because your preaching became an eyewitness account. I'm not preaching that I heard Jesus raised from the dead. When I say he's risen from the dead, I'm saying it because I saw him with my own eyes. I've been called to become an apostle for Jesus Christ. It wasn't enough for Thomas. Thomas had the touch. Thomas had the feel. Whatever it takes. But he was an eyewitness. So it added validity to their preaching. Not telling you what I heard. Telling you what I've seen, touched, and felt with my own hands. All right, here it is. Let me get out of this. 16, here it is. On the first day of the week, let each one of you lay something aside, storing up as you may prosper, that there be no collection when I come. That phrase, first day of the week. The point of this verse is that giving must occur regularly, not just when one feels generous or is particularly led to do so or instructed to do so for some special purpose. Okay? The first day of the week, what he's meaning by that phrase is that our giving, again, New Testament, church, well, it must be done on a regular basis. You got it? Good. Then he says, as you may prosper. Now, everybody look at me. Did I put this on the board? Is this on? It is. All right. Here it is. Listen. That as you may prosper, no required amount or percentage for giving to the Lord's work is specified in the New Testament. Everything that you hear about the tithe, everything you hear about that, all of it, Old Testament. Everything under the law. Right? Christ comes, right, establishes the church, and we now operate under grace. Why? Because the law, although it was good and perfect, it had one problem. Anybody know what the problem with the law was? Us. The law was perfect, but the problem was us. That's why if you read the Old Testament, it's just boyfriend and girlfriend the whole way through, from the beginning to the end. What do boyfriends and girlfriends do? Their entire time, what do? They break up, and then they what? They make up. That's what God in Israel. That's the whole, I mean, from the beginning, let's read it. They kept breaking up, making up. God forgive us. Now is Malachi. Now is the time. I mean, if it wasn't, that's all. They was just breaking up, and that's all they were doing. And it wasn't anything wrong with God, nor was there anything wrong with his law. The problem was us. And our failure was that we couldn't keep the law. So while it was good, while it was perfect, we couldn't handle it. Now, you should understand your Wednesday night even more. That's why God, not only did he predestine us, he predestined Christ. He said, I need someone who can keep the law. Because in so doing, they can fulfill the law and release all of the promises under the law. Right? That's where Christ comes. He answers the question for its found. So I'll go. Not only will I go, but I'll keep the law. I'll do it. I'll go all the way to the end. I won't come up short. I'll go all the way to the end. Are you with me? So here it is. Let me keep going. Here, this is the good part. This is your hope. No required amount or percentage for giving to the Lord's work is specified in the New Testament. Listen, all giving to the Lord is to be free will giving and completely discretionary. You guys with me? Old Testament, 10%. 20% and all this stuff. Here, he said, under grace, God said, it's a free will offer. Now you see why the other Sunday I preached that sermon, all free will giving needs what? Has to be by the Holy Spirit. God says, under the new covenant, I'm not going to put the weight of the tithe on you. He said, I'm still going to give you the blessing of the tithe. But instead of the law telling you what to give, God said, I'm going to tell you what to give. And all you got to do is be there. And if you do it, the same blessings that were under the law through the tithe will transfer to you under free will offering in the church, under the New Testament. No one's from the old school. Most of us have grown up, and many of us will die, always believing I owe a tithe. No one ever told that God made a change. He made a shift. He's like, now I'm not requiring everybody to give 10%. Now God's saying, I am going to speak to each one of you individually. And I am going to prompt something in your spirit that causes you to give. I keep referring back to the sermon about the widow's mite. She gave the less two mites. She should have kept that. It couldn't do nothing in the storehouse. But in God's eyes, because the Holy Spirit had prompted her, we learned that what? She gave all she had. Never once do you read after that story the widow wanting anywhere else. For the balance of her life, God did what? Took care of her. Why? Because the Holy Spirit prompted her to give. She brought it obediently, even though it didn't compare to what the other people were bringing. They were bringing bags of coins. They made a whole lot of noise going down the church. Oh my God, they gave a big offering. Why? Because everybody heard it. She put her offering in and you could have heard the birds sing. I mean, it was just nothing. Most people looked at her and said, did she give anything? Oh, she did what the pastor said. She just came by and touched the plate. She did way more than that. She did what the Holy Spirit prompted her to do. And as Job said, my record is on high. You don't know what I gave. You don't know what it cost me to give what I, what? But God knows. My record. Job said my record's up. You guys don't know. That's why you keep telling me, curse God and die and do this. I must, no. Job said my record. The Holy Spirit has prompted me about what I should and should not do. And my witness. Now I don't have to prove it to you. Because you're not my God. God is. God has told me what to give. Here it is. Let me keep going. All right. Put this up. And I'm finished. There it is. Here it is. One of the young men asked in our men's meeting to do something on financial planning and investing. And I'm going to get to it. I used to do a lot of it when I was younger. Not so much these days. Look at this. This is how you give. Remember, what's the title of the sermon? Preparing an offering for Sunday. Before you invest, save, plan, all this other funky stuff you do, it all starts with a what? You got to have a budget. You got to sit down at the table, on the side of your bed, in the car, wherever you do, whatever you do. And you got to create a budget for yourself and or for your family. Right? And I'm not going into detail. I know you guys got apps and all this other crazy stuff. Joy, I told you I used to do this when I was younger. And that's the proof of it is not me. It's really my son, Jordan, came home one weekend. I mean, he was all excited. I mean, he was beside him. So, like, he was like, Dad, you got to let me show you. You got to let me show you. I said, well. He said, I created a spreadsheet for my, but I made a budget and I made a spreadsheet out of it. I said, okay. Everything he kept showing me, he was like, Dad, it'd be better because at home I got two computer screens. So you can see the full spreadsheet. This thing was so complicated, Keisha. I mean, just after he said go, I was like, all right, kid, I get it. You've got a couple nickels. He was like, and if I spend this, this one automatically calculates to this, and then this is here, and it turns red if I go over. I mean, and you know what I told him? I'm going to tell him what I told y'all. I said, you know they got, now listen to me, this is me saying this. They got apps for that. That's what I told him. He was like, yeah, Dad. He said, I know. But none of them work quite the way I want them to work. He said, Dad, so I made my own. I'm not asking you guys to create none of that. Nor am I asking you to call Jordan. That's going to make you feel worse. It's just crazy. But that's the way his mind works. So it works for what? For him. I'm giving you something simple because you may be on this end of the scale. Pat, I just need something simple. Most people, everybody look at me, when they fail to give, they fail because they don't prepare to give. So as a result, They wait till we get in church and they're like, oh, it's offering time. And they give what? Whatever they have available to give. Which in and of itself is not bad, but it's not inspired by the Holy Spirit. Listen to what I'm getting ready to tell you. This process, preparing a budget, laying it all out, listen to me, can be more God-honoring than you giving a large offering. By taking time, private time, laying out all your, just a simple budget, laying it out. And the thing I want you to see here, you got your income and then it's the fixed expenses. Your offering, as I was trying to tell you with the tithe, is a fixed expense. Right? Had we been in the Old Testament, it had been 10%. Right? Just like your taxes are fixed. No one at your job asks you how much you want to pay for taxes. What do? They just take it. It's fixed. It's determined. You don't got no say in it. God said, no, no, I'm not going to do you that way. I want to enter a trust relationship. I want you to come to me when you prepare your family budget, individual budget, whatever it is, and I want you to pray this simple prayer. Lord, what do you want me to give to your house? He's the only one that can tell you. I can't tell you. Don't call, don't email, don't write. If you ask me, I'm giving you a big number. Because I don't know. But God does. Right? If you're a husband and wife team, you got to come to an agreement on it. What shall we give? What is God requiring of us? Right? There it is. Once you have that, then everything else, you fill in the blank. But you don't shortchange God because you are unprepared. 93% of people come to church unprepared to give. So they just give whatever they have in their pocket. I got $40. I'm going to throw it in there. Nice. But that may not be what God has asked of you. Right? You got it? Look at somebody and say, get a budget. Right? Put your giving right up top. Look where it is. Rent. All the stuff you got to pay. Right? You don't pay your rent, you got nowhere to live. You don't pay your car, you got no way to move around, right? Your giving to the house of God, it's got to be up top, right? Because if you move it down low, you're going to do what? You're going to pay everything else, and you're going to pay everyone else. Are you with me? If you got it, say I got it. Here it is. Let me close it out. Here's the challenge. Is my challenge up there? I don't know if I got it in my notes or not. Here's the challenge. Let your giving reflect your love for God. Watch out for jokers who say they love you, but never give you anything. Right? For that, y'all should give to the speaker's offering, right? So, oh, man, I'm blessing the pastor. I knew that was the truth. I just needed the pastor. Watch out for jokers. Because that's all they are. They're jokers. Tricksters. That say they love you. But never give anything. Right? Raise your hand if I helped you today. I mean, you got to be down the road. Right? Because so many people, you guys are all saying, oh, he's talking in terms of relationship. I'm really talking about in terms of your relationship with God. Are you telling God how much you love him? But in your monthly budget, you spend more on Netflix and Hulu All right. At least, if he didn't tell me to stop, I keep going. Pastor, you got a good sermon. Don't ruin it now. You down the road. The people are happy. You gave up hope. Now you snatch it away. I love God, but I spend more money per month at the movies. You follow what I'm saying? You're a jokester. Here's something an old preacher told me, and I'm finished. Here it is. Look, people, they can't hold it any longer. I apologize. Here it is. This is what an old preacher told me a long, long time ago. And I wasn't even a preacher. He was just talking to be talking, which old folks have a tendency to do, by the way. This is what he said. He said, the money trail never lies. That's what he told me. Said the money trail will always find you out. Right? Because as people, we spend money on the things we what? We love. The things we like the most, we spend the most money on. Now, I want you to be clear what I'm saying. God is not saying spend the most on God. He's not saying that. What I'm telling you, you got to ask him. He'll tell you what he wants. Maybe 10%, maybe 15%, maybe 20%. I don't know what it is. Maybe 7%. But God's going to, if you ask him, he'll tell you what. Give me what, that's what he said. Give me what I want. You got to ask. He'll tell you. Put it in your budget. Why? So it doesn't get skipped over. So that every month you're being what? Faithful. Because he said, if you do this, he says, the blessing of the tithe belongs to you. Are you with me? If you got it, say I got it. If you had enough, say, Pastor, I had enough. Y'all know y'all wanted to say that. Lord Jesus. Y'all were like, somebody was like, oh, excuse me, I didn't even mean to say that. Here it is. I'm finished. While Jesus acknowledges tithing in the New Testament, what he emphasizes is generous, cheerful, and free will giving rather than a strict percentage, reflecting a heart of gratitude and trust. Therefore, while the Old Testament commanded the tithe, it all ended with the Mosaic law. The underlying principles of supporting ministry and caring for those in need continue through the New Testament, through God's principles of giving. Right? Go to 2 Corinthians 9 and 6, and I'm done. This is it. We covered this the last time, but I just want to reiterate it. Here we are, 2 Corinthians 9 and 6, and I'm finished. Here, everybody stand up. That way, when I see you stand up, this is what it's 2 Corinthians 9. But this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. He who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Here it is. Here's the witness. Let each one give as he purposes in his heart. You hear me? Let each one give. Let each one give as what? As he has prepared to give. Not just, I got $12 in my pocket. No. In my budget, where I sat down and mapped everything out. This is my number for God. This is my offering. Here it is. Let's keep reading. Here, let each one give as he purposes, not grudgingly or out of necessity, right? For God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound. That means he's going to supply all your needs. All grace abound, that you always having all sufficiency in all things may have an abundance for every good work. I'm finished. You're standing, so that's my sign to quit. I want to put something in perspective for you for giving. in July, end of July, we were doing the Celeste Williams thing and the scholarships and all that. And when they called me up to do the offering, I told everyone at that time how the night before, one of my boys had used my office to write out whatever they were going to do and whatever. And as a result, the instructions were left on my desk. Because my boys are like your boys, right? And what is that? They never clean up behind themselves. So I come back to them, all their stuff is out. So I come back, I see the stuff, I'm getting ready to throw in a test, but I read it, I was like, oh, this is the Celeste Williams stuff, blah, blah, blah. And I realized in there it was saying how this was the 25th year. I read it. That morning, I read it. I was like, oh. So when I came up to collect the offering, the Holy Spirit prompted me, right? I just read it that morning when I sat at my desk because they left all their stuff on my desk. That in whatever y'all put together and handed out to the kids, that paragraph said it was started in 2020. And I was like, wow, this is the 25th year. Thought nothing of it. Balled it up, threw it in the trash, got ready, headed to church. Get the church. Now it's time to give. And again, the Holy Spirit prompted me, say, you know what? Raise an offering for $2,500. Right? Not planned. Didn't tell you last month. It was just boom. Right? And I did what we all have to do when the Holy Spirit speaks. We just got to what? We got to move. Right? Got to move. He said move. You got to move. So I stood up here and I said, let's give. Let's give. Right? I told you guys my dad gave $250. I told you that, but I didn't tell my dad that until the next week. I happened to have his checkbook, so I... But here's the point. That giving was inspired giving. It was for a specific time and for a specific place. And I can prove it was the Holy Spirit. Because one, we raised over $3,000, and it was at least a week, if not two, after that people were still calling about giving. I mean, it was 2 weeks later. When I was there, I didn't have it, or I didn't know. And can I still give? Can I still support? 2 weeks later. Right? That's what happens when you follow what the Holy Spirit prompts you to do. For that, we all gave what we could give. Whatever amount we gave, we exceeded the amount God placed in my heart. That's how I know God did it. You follow what I'm saying? And so you have that. That happens in the church where we have to raise for a specific cause, specific need with the Holy Spirit. And you do that. But what this I'm talking about, he said, let everyone prepare the first of the week. Then every week. This is saying on a regular basis. I'm going to bring back the blessing of the tithes to my life and into the life of my family. When I asked God, you tell me. You see what I make? You gave me the job. I wouldn't have had it without your help. You gave me favor when I didn't deserve it. And now I want to test and prove that the power of the tithe is still alive in the kingdom of God. Just tell me what to give, and I'll give it. And I'll watch you begin to open the windows of heaven and bless my life, the life of my children, my children's children, those connected to me. I see you bless my church. I see you bless the organizations I support. All because I brought my giving in alignment with your will. Amen. While we're standing, let's hand out the sacraments. The bread and wine. Because this is why I want to do communion right here. If you need it, get your hands up. Anyone need one? Get my Pray for the usher on point. Give him a basket. We're coming around. Everyone have one. I want to make sure. We're going to take communion right here. This is where we're going to take it at. Anybody know what the most important thing is in taking communion? Anyone have an idea of what the most important thing is in taking communion? The most important thing whenever, wherever you take communion is this. Everybody got one? The most important thing whenever you take communion, whether here or somewhere else, the most important thing is that you confess your sins. It's not whether it's grape juice or wine. It's not whether it's bread or none of that matters. That's why when we were doing virtual, we said, hey, take whatever you have in your house. Just set it aside. Doesn't have to be unleavened bread. If you got it, great. If not, use Ritz crackers. But set it aside so that it's what? Holy to God. Because the more important thing is that you confess your sins. I want to take communion here. Because just like Israel, when Malachi gave them this prophecy, Malachi said, you can fix everything right now. Because all you got to do is confess your sins. Acknowledge that you've robbed God. Right? We come around the Lord's table, as is our custom. Confess your sins. My sins. Our sins. And all I'm asking this morning is that we acknowledge our sins in giving. Just acknowledge. You don't have to tell me. Don't text. Just, you know what? I didn't do what God asked. Or, all my life I gave God what I wanted. Never asked him what he wanted. Never included him in my budget. I was never prepared to give. If we could just all do that today, here around the Lord's table, and start a new cycle today. Today, I reinstitute the covenant of the tithe. Today, I put myself under open heaven. How did you do it? Today I'm going to start bringing the tithe. Today I'm going to start bringing whatever God requires of me. 5%, 10%, 50%, whatever it is. Holy Spirit, I'm going to ask you, and today I covet. I'm coming in agreement with you. My giving will reflect my love for God. If you're willing to do that, I'm going to ask you to pull back the top, the wafer representing his body, which was shed for us, Calvary. He said, this do in remembrance of me. And I say the same to all of you. This juice is important because he said it represents what? The new agreement. The new covenant. The new law. Here it is. He said, no. The Mosaic law was good, but you couldn't handle it. He said, today I give you a new agreement between you and God. He said, drink ye all of it. Every head bowed. Father in heaven, thank you for the privilege you have given us to hear and receive your word. May it find good ground, fruitful soil, in the heart and in the life, not only of believers here, but all of those that are watching and listening, streaming both now and those in the days and weeks to come. And may we bring an offering worthy of a holy and righteous God. It's our prayer. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated all over the church. This is the point of the sermon, the service, where we're going to utilize our phones. I'm going to ask everyone to take out your phone, Apple, Android, whatever you might have. If you don't have a phone, borrow somebody else's phone. I'm going to ask Sister Cassandra to come. I'm going to ask her to give us some instructions in giving. And while she's coming, let me tell you what brought this on. Is that even as we were, I was telling you about the giving from the Celeste thing. Remember how I told you people kept giving weeks after they were calling and how do I give and how do I get in? What I didn't realize, and I apologize for this, I didn't realize people were running into complications or trouble in giving to the church. I didn't know it. I just thought the people were giving. But so many called and said, hey, I tried that and it didn't work for me. Hey, Pastor, I don't have that type of app. Is there some other way I can give? I want to give, but the church, I don't have a means by which to give to the church. And it was such an eye-opener. Thanks, Cass. It was such an eye-opener that I was like, wow, I didn't even know this was happening in our church. And so I asked the finance team, and Cassandra's here, and she's going to walk us through. And I know, you know, oh, yeah, they say it every Sunday. How many of you are like me, like especially if you go to church every Sunday, half the stuff go in and what, go out. You know what I mean? And we don't really pick it up. But I just wanted to take a time, a part of the service, a part of the sermon, while I have your attention. I want all of us to be on the same page, have the same understanding on how we can give. And let everybody look at me. Everybody look at me. And I want it for two first, not just for you, but I want it so that when others ask you, you know what. I was shocked. People were, call them. He said, I did. They didn't know how to give either. I was like, geez, Louise. So I want you to have this so that you can give. But I want you got this handout. We're going to send it out in the email, all this stuff. So that if other people ask you, hey, I want to give to your church. I want to support whatever. You can give them the correct information about how to give. Everybody good? All right, good. Cassandra's up. And if you're able, if you can, I want everyone to give electronically today. If you can. Okay? Because the best experience is when you do it, and you're like, oh, now I know how. All right, go ahead.
Good morning, church. So, we gave everyone a handout. It's also on the screen. So I do know that most of you do give online and you do Venmo or Cash App. Unfortunately, we had a problem with Cash App. Cash App is not business friendly, so that is why we're not using Cash App. We have Venmo, and we do now have Zelle, which all financial institutions have. So every bank has Zelle. You can, we have the phone number. We want to let everybody know. The phone number that we have right now that we're using is from our deacon, Aaron. The money is going to our account. It's tied to our account, But because when you use Zelle, you have to have a cell phone. And the church does not have its own cell phone. So we are working on that to have a cell phone strictly for the church. So when you go into Zelle, you will see a number. You won't see anything that will say Taylor Tabernacle. I just wanted to let everyone know that ahead of time. Venmo, you will see our logo. You can use the app, I mean the QR code, and it is listed up there. Now, if you want to do text, which a lot of people do, that goes into our accounts also, but it's under our finance program realm. So if you go in there, you can set up your account. It could come from a debit card, credit card, or if you want to set it up through your account, you can do that also. You can also do it where you want it to come out monthly, or if you want it to come out weekly, you can set an amount and it will automatically come out and go directly into your tithe, your customer account on what we fill in for our accounting system. So it goes directly under your name. So when you get your year-end statement and you see everything on there, if you're doing it online, it will come through there and will show the exact day, time that you made your contribution. So all that goes directly under your name on our financial system. If you're not sure about that, you can talk to me or Aaron about that later. So if you go online, it will take you into that system. You'll see your name. It'll come up. All your information will be on there. You can put, again, debit, credit, or your account, your checking account. Also, if you don't want to do that, feel free to send us, you know, in the mail. You can write a check. It'll come directly to the church. And, you know, Aaron or I will add that into the system, and it will be on your account. So that is what we're using for our finances. If anyone have any questions, please feel free to reach out to me or Aaron, and we can help you set things up. Mostly me, but feel free to call me. Aaron will, you know, I'll help Aaron out if he needs additional services if, you know, you guys get to him and he's not available. So, are there any questions? Great. Back to you, Pastor. Oh, Deacon. Okay. Deacon Pat. So as I said, either Deacon Aaron or myself. Anything else? Oh, also, we will have this posted. We're going to get it laminated, so we'll have it posted, and it will be up on the outside. I have to look to check to see if we want to do something on the inside. But this will be posted if you lose the sheet.
Okay. Any questions, comments, thoughts, anything, anybody? Go, shoot, Rat. You didn't get what? Okay. No, that's good. That's good. We're setting up a meeting between Radcliffe and Sister Cassandra. Yep, do it personally. Go ahead, Kurt. Yes. Good. We'll make it happen. Yep. Good. Very good suggestion. The budget, I know Curve is on it because I saw so many of you taking pictures of it. I'm going to get my slide out so you can, it's good. It's helpful. You got to start somewhere. You got to start somewhere. Thanks for that. Anything else? Questions? Comments? Anything? Anybody? Go. Come again. Say, okay. You need an email? Oh, they're saying they're not on it. All right. No. Here we go. This is how we're going to do it. Go get. So anybody, get a pen. Tyrone's coming around. We're going to get it right now. give your mobile number and your name. That'll get you added to the one call. Give us, and then under that, give us your email address. That'll get you on the weekly email on which there is a thing you can click and give. Yep, I know exactly what she's talking about. Now that she's playing. Okay? So, what I just said? So for the one call, Tyrone's coming around right now. We're going to get it fixed right now. Just give Tyrone your name and your mobile number. Right? We'll get that. They'll add it to the one call. That way you'll hear those messages. I apologize. Guys not getting them. Then underneath that, if you're not getting the email newsletter every week, we need your email address. Right? The email address will get you the newsletter. Your mobile number will get you added to the one call. Okay? So that's them three right there. Anyone else needing that, that's what Tyrone's coming for right now. And we'll get it. We'll get that fixed today. Okay? So anyone, if you're not getting the one call messages, you're not hearing them, you're not getting the weekly newsletter, which always has a link to the sermon, and also has on it where you can click to give. So folks are taking advantage of that. So Tyrone's coming around. You can get that. Any other questions or comments about giving? Okay. And again, Cassandra has made herself available. So for Radcliffe, any of our seniors, any of our folks who are not, you know, giving electronically but want to learn how, she'll sit down and do it privately with you. Walk you right through it. Boom, 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 boom. Okay? I'll make sure we get that slide out. We'll get the sermon notes out so you can have that. Because that's where it all starts, with making a budget. Because that's how you prepare to give. Okay? Everybody good? Any other questions? Any other comments? Good. The very last slide, because we're done. Go to the very last slide. Good. All right. All right, here we go. We're done. Because we went long and extra with the sermon, we'll cut right through the chase. Here's what you need to know, and why what we just discussed is so important. Next Sunday, you have it? What? You had it. Go back to the last slide. There it is. You got it? Good. Can you all see that? So next Sunday, okay, we will not be gathering here for morning worship. Okay? We gotta load up the rodeo and take it on the road. Right? So no service here next Sunday. What we're going to be doing instead is next Sunday, we're going to be going to this church called Gospel Light. It's over in North Philly. There's the address. If you want to take a picture of it or what have you, 1712 Ontario, right? Our brother and our friend, Elder Larry Cutner's, his pastor's anniversary. They're inviting us to come over and fellowship, okay? So you have the address. Here's the most important thing. Noon. It starts at noon. Okay? So you get to sleep a little. It's daylight saving times. You get to sleep an extra hour. Okay? That was a joke, but none of you laughed. I mean, y'all didn't even smile back. Like, anyway, it starts at noon. Right? So I'm asking everyone to join me, right? It's an anniversary service. It's a big deal. They want us to come and support. We're going to do that. I'm asking everyone to come. Service starts later, starts at noon. It's in North Philly, okay? I'm going to invite you to join us over there for that service, for that fellowship. Pastor Cutner has served on our advisory board for ministers and deacons. He's often come and sat on that board for us as we ordain new deacons and pastors. But the thing that is of most important, and I'll say this just quickly, is that our church was born out of gospel life. Our history began in gospel life. Just like Christianity is born out of Judaism, our church was born out of gospel life. Bishop Wilson was the not only pastor, but the presiding bishop. And she sent our pastor, Dr. Taylor, into West Philadelphia. So many families were coming from West Philadelphia. They decided to plant a church in West Philadelphia. And they asked Pastor Taylor and her husband, Deacon Roy Taylor, to be the founding pastors. And that's what that's how our church came in. No one just started a church just because whatever. The bishop sent them out, said, hey, plant a church here. And we've been in existence ever since. So this is a homegoing for us. Our ties and our roots there are deep. And so I'm asking you to join us in that fellowship. Amen? Shall we all stand? Now, just tied to that, let me just point this out. Hopefully you know it, but if not, even though we are not gathering to worship, we are still doing what? We're still giving, right? Again, and now we know how. We can do it electronically. We can still give in the morning, still join us for the fellowship at noon, okay? So we're still supporting our church because what? The Bible says what? The first of the week, prepare. This is what I'm giving. Now you know how to give. For those with still remaining questions, Cassandra's here after service, okay? So let me just say this, and then I'm serious. Thank you for not checking out. Most times when pastors or preachers preach about giving, half the church checks out. The only people who really listen are the ones who are what? Already given. Most of the people who are not, they feel guilty, whatever, and they just check out. Thanks for not checking out, right? And I believe that the Word of God is going to bless you. Amen. Father in heaven, we thank you for what you gave to us. We thank you for an opportunity for us to give back to you. May these truths and principles go with us from here into eternity till we see you face to face. In Jesus' name, amen. Love on everybody before you leave. God bless you. We'll see you next Sunday, Gospel Light Church. Keep the flyer. Keep it, put it in your Bible, do whatever. Like I said, you may need it later. Someone else may.